you have your Bible, you can turn to 1 Peter. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1. If you want to look online, you can go to esv.org and put it in there and look it up. I'll be using the English Standard Version, so that's the version that's available there for free. I do want to mention, Mike said it, but if you are new or you have questions, I'm making myself available after the service today for a few minutes, and you know, sometimes I get questions about the resurrection. I'm not going to deal with a lot of the arguments for the resurrection today, because the passage we're looking at is building hope on the reality of the resurrection and what that hope means, and so that's what we're going to look at today. But there, if you have a question about the historicity of the resurrection or something like that, I'd be glad to answer that during our Q&A time after the service, so you can text that question to 617-942-0753. So the cross and the resurrection that we've sung about today stand as the center of Christianity. It's not about morality. It's not primarily. It's not about a political affiliation or ultimately about how we live in terms of what we do for God. Christianity is ultimately about what God has done for us through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, and then everything flows out of that for the Christian life. And so today, this is not only the center of Christianity, but it's the greatest event in human history. But no one saw it as that in the moment. Because in that moment, if you think about Jesus being crucified on Friday, his followers didn't understand. No one fully understood. For his followers and those that knew Jesus, he was being executed, and it seemed like a terrible end to his 3 years of public ministry. And a compassionate, kind, incredible person was dying on the cross, and they believed that he was actually God, but now he's dying, and it seemed to be all falling apart. And then even on Sunday morning, it's a very muted way of describing what happens. If you want to look at that on your own, you can read it from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. But it's very simple. Some women went to the tomb early on Sunday morning to embalm Jesus's body, and they find that the stone that had been in front of the tomb had been rolled away, and they went in, discovered he was gone. An angel told them that he wasn't there, that he had risen just as he had said he would. And then one of the ladies actually sees the risen Jesus, and a few minutes later, they go and tell the disciples, and he appears to them. And then over the next 40 days, he appears to many other people as well. This was the miracle of Easter Sunday morning, that Jesus rose, and the implications of it began to spill out, not just on the people who loved him and followed him, but on the world as a whole. This message of Jesus' death and resurrection began to be shared, and the reality that a person could know the living Jesus, have a relationship with the living Jesus, began to be shared throughout Jerusalem and the surrounding regions, and then began to spill forth and around the Roman Empire, and then beyond to around the world today. It's the same message that's been going for 2,000 years, so that across the globe, there are a multitude of people who believe this very simple gospel message and have experienced this new life in Jesus, so that today the sun will not set on Jesus's church. As the sun rises to the sun setting across this globe, there are believers, there are Christians that are following Jesus today. And it's because of this living hope that's in them that they're able to face life, not just the good times, but the troubling times, the difficult times, because they have this enduring hope because of the resurrection from the dead. And it's hope that we need today, isn't it? And I think the question for us in the midst of our situation is, how does the hope of Christianity, the hope of the gospel, help us today? And I want to say this as clearly as we can. This is the theme for today. The idea for today is we have a living hope because we have a living Savior. We have a living hope because we have a living Savior. you know, hope just in the Gospels isn't just focused on the future. It's focused on the now as well and walking through the realities of suffering in this world. And so I'm going to read from 1 Peter verses one, or chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, and I encourage you to listen for the impacts that suffering makes on life today as we face and endure life today. I'm going to say when I'm done, this is the word of the Lord, and I would ask you to join me by saying thanks be to God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while it is necessary you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your souls, your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. So I want us to see today we have a living hope because we have a living Savior. And this living hope looks, it doesn't just look to the future, it looks first back, it looks forward, and then it looks at the present. And that's what Peter is unveiling here in this passage. So it looks first, it looks, a living hope looks back. It looks back at the resurrection, the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. The author of 1 Peter is Peter, one of Jesus's 12 disciples and probably his closest friend in this world. He was writing to a people not unlike us, a people who were suffering, a people who were struggling, who were trying to figure out what life looked like, who were being plagued with fears and doubts and real struggles. They were uncertain about the future. And Peter says to them, in the midst of this stress and worry, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what Peter's doing in this moment doesn't seem caring, but it is the most caring thing that he could do for them. He wanted to shift their eyes from their situation to their Savior. He wanted to shift their eyes from the problems they were going through to the God who loves them and had given his son for them. You see, where we set our eyes is where we set our hope. Where we set our eyes is where we set our hope. If you're looking at circumstances and they're bleak, you're hoping that somehow those circumstances change and that's where you're putting all of your hope. But Peter is saying here, reminding them that your circumstances aren't ultimate. God is ultimate. Peter is saying, look back. Look back at the mercy of God, that God had come to you and caused you to be born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He saw you, God saw you. Because of his great mercy, he saw you in your weakness. He saw you in your fear. He saw you in your anxiety. He saw you in your brokenness. And he caused you to be born again to a new and living hope. He set you free from the power of Satan, sin, and death. And he brought you into his family. This phrase, born again, we've been talking about it actually for several weeks now. It goes back to 3 weeks ago when we looked at John 3, and then last week as well, looking at Jesus saying that a person has to be born again to enter his kingdom, to taste his kingdom, to live in his kingdom. And so if you want to know more about that, I would encourage you to go back and look at those messages. But what Peter is saying is look back. Look back that Jesus rose from the grave and you have now been born again into God's family. This is a living hope because we have a living Savior. Peter is reminding us that our hope is built on not our circumstances changing in the future or getting better now, but in something that has already happened. You see, God knows that we're unsure, that if our hope was only built on something changing or something getting better, then it would be unsure at best. And then there's always something else that could get worse. I think we all knew 6 months or a year ago, we all know that we didn't have an idea this was what was going to be happening in our world. We didn't have a clue. Life can change drastically and dramatically. And therefore, if our hope's based on things simply getting better, then we're also risking them getting worse. But if our hope is based on something that's already been done, that has already been provided, a new birth, mercy of God through the resurrected Jesus, that on that Sunday morning when he rose out of the grave, his life, his new life that he had became available to all of us. And people continue to experience this new life today. Early last month, I met with a guy before the whole city shut down. He had been coming to Koa or City on a Hill for a few months. And he's from a nominal Buddhist background. It had really no Christian background at all. And yet I sat down at a table with him. And I remember, I don't think I'll ever forget it, just listening to him say, "I don't think I have the words to describe what has happened to me, but I think I've become a Christian." And I was the first person that he shared that with. And it was an incredible thing for me to be there, to see that he had been born again. This new and living hope was alive in him. And he's learning a lot, he's studying a lot, and he has a lot to go through in the Christian life to grow. But what I saw is a new person, someone who'd been born again. And if you want to know more stories like that, including mine, I put on Instagram and Facebook, look up that hashtag, Jesus Changed My Life. And there are literally thousands of people that have recorded these in the last week. And so I encourage you to check those out. So a living hope first looks back. Secondly, it looks forward. It looks forward to an inheritance. Verse 4, Peter says that we have been born again to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. A quick question here. Who gets an inheritance? Children do, right? Children get an inheritance. And what Peter is saying is here, he's reminding them that they have been born again, looking back, been born again, and have been given this inheritance by God for the future. This great inheritance, because they had been brought into his family, that we have been adopted and are now children of God. We belong to him. We have been adopted and given all the privileges and rights and inheritance. This is not simple optimism. We're not simply optimistic, like in our culture. We're optimistic about a new treatment. We're optimistic about a vaccine. We're optimistic about social distancing ending and that we can be together again. Those are good things and perfectly normal and human to hope for those things. But this looking to an inheritance is not simple optimism about the future. It is looking to something that God has provided. It is not simply optimistic about circumstances, but certain about an inheritance that God has already provided because of what he's done for us in the past. God says it's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. This means nothing you do or that can be done to you can take away that inheritance. Think about that for a moment. Isn't that what we kind of need right now most? Isn't it that we need something that's not going to perish, something that's not going to change? Something that's unfading. There's an inheritance for every believer, every Christian that is being kept by God, being secured by God in heaven. And that promise is of a new heavens and new earth. If you look, we'll get there in a few weeks, but the end of the book of Revelation in chapters 21 and 22, it's describing the end of time, the end of the world. And when Jesus comes again, he's going to renew the earth. There's going to be all the brokenness, all the pain, all the death, all the killer viruses are going to be gone. But even better than that, we will be face to face with God. We will be face to face with Jesus, and we will never be separated from each other again. Friends, the longing we feel as a church to gather together, to be reconnected right now, is the same longing. It's just a tiny taste of the longing we should have for that new heavens and new earth. that it's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven by God for you and for me. Stop and think. If you could know that you have this inheritance, you have an inheritance with God in a new heavens and new earth, that your body and the brokenness and the weakness and the struggles and the sin and the shame and all of that is just completely gone, and you are in that perfect world where there's no pain and no crying and no more death, would that not change the way we live today? Would that hope of that reality, if we knew we had that, would that not change how we live today? And that's the final point for us today that Peter has, is that a living hope looks backward to what Jesus did, the resurrection from the dead. It looks to the future, to that inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. And then it looks at the present. It roots ourselves. It's not naive. It's not living in the future in such a way that you don't actually engage in the present world. The present world is hard. And Paul says, a living hope looks around at our present circumstances. It's not afraid to look at suffering. It's not afraid to look at what we're going through. Listen to the difference that this living hope makes through the resurrection. Peter says in verse 6 and 7, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." We feel a need for hope right now. I think that's one of the reasons we cling to the news that says, "Hey, things are turning a corner a bit right now. Things are moving forward with vaccines. There's possible treatment options out here. There's a hope that we'll begin to be able to stop social distancing and be able to reconnect again." We are hardwired for hope. But what we hope in exposes what we are ultimately trusting in. And ultimately, we're confronted with the idea that the things we have been hoping for, the things 6 months ago that you were hoping for, could not ultimately be guaranteed. And secondly, couldn't ultimately deliver to you the hope that you need. When we are confronted with the truth that we can no longer control our world, we can no longer control what happens to us. And we have no power to be able to affect the change we would all love to have right now. And we have no ability to find the comfort. We can't just hop on a plane and go somewhere warm and sit in the sun. We can't go have a new experience right now. And I'm telling you, this is a gift. It's a hard gift, but it's a gift to us that we would get to the end of ourselves and see that the things that we have been hoping for, they're not evil. Those are not bad things to look to, but they can't be our ultimate hope. Our ultimate hope needs to be in something that doesn't change, that can't be taken away from us. And when that happens, we can endure anything. You see, this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is a gift of God to us, that we no longer need to trust ourselves. We need to no longer trust our ability to get everything right so we can experience the hope we need. We no longer have to trust the world to work out for us. We have a living hope that can endure suffering today. Here in the midst of suffering, Christians experience one simple idea, and this is what Peter is saying in the last part of those two verses I just read. Jesus is better. Jesus is better than good health. Jesus is better than a great job. Jesus is better than a great family. Jesus is better than a long life. Jesus is better than success. Jesus is better than making an impact in this world. And on the flip side, Jesus is better than cancer, and Jesus is better than viruses, and Jesus is better than getting our lives all lined up so that they happen the way we want. Jesus is better. And it's when we're suffering that the good things are stripped away, that we can actually see this and experience it. This living hope through the cross and the resurrection for 2,000 years has allowed Christians to be able to endure nearly every kind of suffering this world can bring. From the Christians in the Roman Empire who were executed in sometimes in hundreds and even groups of thousands, they were persecuted for centuries. To the sufferings of the Christians in the plagues in Europe as they went out and served their neighbors and loved their neighbors, and many of the Christians died contracting the diseases that they were that the people had that they were serving. They endured because of a living hope. From that to the suffering of the chains of slavery in the American South, the living hope of the resurrection has allowed people to endure anything. I read the story just 4 months ago. 11 Christians in Nigeria executed for their faith. What helps you to be able to do that? It's a living hope that meets you where you are today. For the Christian, living hope can endure anything because the power of the resurrection flows through us. What makes this great news for us today, for anyone who's watching this video, is that this hope is absolutely available to any human being, any person that wants to look to Jesus for this living hope can experience it. It doesn't matter whether you've been running from God your entire life or whether you're kind of returning to a faith of your parents, whether you have no Christian background like my friend, this living hope meets us. And I can say God wants to meet you today. He doesn't want your moral performance. He doesn't want your promises to stop doing this and start going to church and start singing and start reading your Bible. Those are fine. Those aren't bad things, but they're all the result of what God's done. God wants you. And you can't cause yourself to be born again, but God can cause you to be born again even in this moment. All you have to do is seek him. You have to turn away from your old life, from your old self, selfishness, pride, the things that have kept you from God, the sin and rebellion against God's rule in your life, and you look to Jesus, who died and rose on your behalf. And you can talk to him right now. You can take a step in your journey of faith. And I realize not everyone might be ready to take that step, but you're ready to take a step, and that's where we want to be here to serve you. If we can help you in some way, you can text COAH to 31996 and we'll get back to you. You can request a pastor to meet with you and request more information. You can register for that webinar on Thursday night. I'll be teaching it. It'll be around 30, 35 minutes of teaching and then around 25 minutes of Q&A and opportunity for you to ask questions. So I'm excited about that. I want to help you. We want to help you in your journey of faith wherever you are. If you just need prayer today, you need someone to intercede for you, to pray with you, or a pastor to follow up with you, we would love to do that today. And you can just follow that link through that number. Christian, I want to speak to you as I close and pray. As you go about this week ahead, you have a living hope because you have a living Savior. Don't get caught up in the circumstances. Yes, we need to look at things, but it is not looking at those things that will give you hope. It is looking back to what Jesus did for you on the cross and through the resurrection and through causing you to be born again. And it's looking at the future, that inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and unwaiting, is waiting for you. And it's looking at your circumstances today, knowing Jesus is a living hope for you. And you can endure anything because Jesus is better. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are better. We thank you that you on the cross and through the resurrection did everything that was needed for us to experience this living hope. It's not through our achievements. It's not through our good deeds. It's not through our religious upbringing. It's not through any religious rituals. It is through you and you alone that we experience this living hope. I pray that every one of us might experience it today, and it might help us tomorrow. In your name we pray.